mark on my face. I don't have a mark on my face,
yeah.
And I upset Sonny Liston, and I just turned 22 years old. I must be the greatest. I told the world, I talk to God every day. If God's with me, can't nobody be against me, Sonny. I shut up the world. I know God. I know the real God.
Cassius, wait a minute, Cassius.
I am the king of the world.
Hold it.
I'm pretty.
Hold it, you're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast.
All right, welcome to RG. We're here, a boxing moment with Donnell and Devon. Before I get into it and we pass it on to the youngin, I want you to make sure you check out everything Real Sports Guys by going to realsportsguys.com. That's realsportsguys.com. We got a lot of stuff posted up there. You can also catch us on iTunes by just go in, search for Real Sports Guys. You should see the orange kind of mic, the logo we have come up. And you can also plug into any of our podcasts that are audio, or you can catch us on YouTube as well. But you can get to a lot of that just going to realsportsguys.com. That'll get you to everything on all those platforms. And we'd love to have you there. And, you know, always leave us a nice little message and review. We can appreciate that. But we're here to talk about till this day. And, you know, I can't really do it without bringing in our, you know, what we call our own. We think we might have the rising stars of boxing analysts in the business. Is our man, Donnell Kirkland Jr. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good, man. And there's a lot going on in boxing. But we got a few things we'll talk about here. And you know how I do. At this point, I always turn it over to you because you're the resident expert. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, first, you know, we got to talk about the fight. Deontay Wilder absolutely obliterated Dominic Brazil in one round. About 50 seconds almost. And there was only like three or four exchanges in the fight. The very first right hand landed. He landed the 1-2 at the beginning of the fight, and they rocked Dominic Brazil. And then they were about to clinch. And then Dominic Brazil is one of those fighters. He doesn't really clinch when he's hurt. He tried to fight through it. So he ended up hitting Wilder, hit him in the back of the head, and hurt him. And then they clinched, and the ref separated them, and then it was all over. The 1-2 landed, and it was all she wrote. So that's pretty much what happened in the fight. What do you think about the fight and the magnitude of this knockout?
Well, I mean, you know, we talked about this a little bit on our podcast that's live right now, where if you had a chance to check it out, we interviewed Sean Higgins from Michigan about the new hire for that. But at the beginning, you and I talked about, you know, it placed Wilder in this rare space of dynamic knockout heavyweights, which is different than just a knockout artist. When you have somebody who is who's elite at knocking people out as a heavyweight, that creates a whole nother level of buzz. And you know, he's put in a rare air of folks you and I talked about, Ernie Stavers. You know, we talked about Mike Tyson. You know, in terms of those kind of elite knockout fighters that people remember in terms of a boxing foreman, and that kind of electricity he brought to that fight, where you know people are showing reactions of folks on Twitter when it went down, and people are losing their minds. As you said, you ran around the house. I mean, it was that kind of moment. It was all about Wilder, right? And Brazil was just the prop artist. I was just listening. You were great enough to share an interview that was happening on Rogan's podcast. You know, people sitting near his family, and Brazil's family, not even wanted to cheer, you know, because of the horror that was on their face when he was decapitated. I mean, that is the level of reaction, in addition to the reaction that Wilder gave. It was the most electrifying, as you said, 50 seconds we've probably seen all year.
So for what the kind of reaction that the fight got with Wilder knocking him out so viciously in such a vicious fashion, and you seen the same reaction with the with his knockout over Romain Stavern. Do you believe that the fight with Anthony Joshua is now a 50-50 fight? Because Deontay Wilder is asking for 50-50 now, and most people and a lot of the boxing experts, so to speak, they always say that Anthony Joshua was the A-side, but when it seemed to get the reaction of the American fans, either on social media or people that we run into, it always seems that Wilder might be the more famous or more talked about fighter. So do you think it should be a 50-50 fight now?
This is a 50-50, and I'm going to push it. It might be 60-40. You and I know that the epicenter, you know, even though, you know, Anthony Joshua can put, you know, all kinds of people in the O2 and everything else, there's a reason why he's trying to come over and do his American debut. There is a fight isn't a fight until all the stars show up, like the who's who show up.
Right.
If you think about those two, who's going to be the who's the who's who? Anytime Wilder fights, the who's who in any type of entertainment industry, whether it's sports, whether it's football, basketball, whether it's the movies, whether it's time, they're going to be front row. The person who can bring those people to bear is the A-side. And the reaction that you heard after this fight came from all those kind of people, right? And that's what makes him at least a 50-50. And unless Joshua in his next fight, in his debut, can create that same kind of buzz, it's about who you can bring to the table. And it's 50-50, it could be 60-40, Joshua, because right now he has he had the build-up, he not only built it up, he did it. He took a fighter you fought and disposed of him in a fashion that you could even do. That
right, and that brings in the question. Yep.
What'd you say?
No, I was saying that brings in the question. My next question, I was going to say, what can Joshua do in the next fight, or do you believe he could do anything in the next fight to match the kind of reaction that Wilder got or the kind of buzz that he creates for the fight?
Well, I mean, you know, you're a boxing purist and everybody, so boxing purists know about Ruiz and how important that fight is. It would have been better if he would have been able to fight Big Baby. You know, if he would have been able to fight Big Baby and dispose of him in that way, then it might have been an equal buzz, right? Because they're fighting in New York, the Brooklyn, you know, kind of piece, the, you know, Big Baby and the promotion. Like, what made this was the promotion and then the act. And this is the part that I was lost with Big Baby going down because of the using the enhancers and using the steroids or whatever was found in the system. They lost that momentum that he brought to it that creates the energy. And see, if he would have then knocked him out in the first round, now you got equal buzz. Because a lot of people don't know Ruiz and understand, I'm gonna make sure I got it, understand like the quality of the boxer being brought to the table and the promotion to it. Even if he knocked him in the first round, I don't think it brings the same energy that this one in the way he did it, right? He did it in a way that we all thought our hearts were going to jump out. We like, we hope when he was going to get up. I don't know if Joshua's going to have that. I don't feel he can do it, but maybe you might have a different perspective.
Okay, so you mentioned the app, and I want to talk about that later as well, but With the way it's set up with DAZN and the DAZN app, they don't necessarily get as many eyeballs on their fights as in other venues. Because I know later on we're going to talk about Devin Haney and his first fight with DAZN. But it seems like most of their fights on DAZN, you don't even hear. I don't know if it's the promotion. It might be the promotion as well because DAZN isn't necessarily married to any kind of television or media outlet outside of the app. So we're not necessarily hearing as much promotion as far as commercials go interviews go outside of the internet as far as these fights. Like, a lot of people didn't really know about the Canelo fight until, like, a week or so before the fight. And the buzz for Anthony Joshua, so Anthony Joshua fights not tomorrow, but next week. And there is absolutely no buzz for this fight. I don't hear anybody talking about Anthony Joshua. The only time I hear anybody talking about Anthony Joshua is in relation to Deontay Wilder. So, with the app, with the way that app is being, does the zone hurt Anthony Joshua, or do you think it helps him?
I think it hurts because I think it's a really good, from a business model standpoint, I think they got something. But you laid out everything that's the counter argument, because there's no way they haven't, they don't get on SportsCenter. They're not doing the car wash, as they call it, or he's able to hit all the, you know, they're not getting on Get Up. They're not, and to ESPN is probably not inviting as much. They're talking about a post fight, right? Because they got their own thing. And so the promotional aspect of it, you're right, is hurt because they're not tied in a way where it's not, you know, you sent me the Dustin Hayden thing, and I'm just like, man, I didn't even, you know, without you sending it to me, I wasn't even thinking about it happening. So you're right. I think from a business model and potential money-making mechanism, I think they got something. But that only works if you can have access to promotion, and they haven't figured out a model to build the momentum and the chatter around the fight to get the momentum. And that's why I think the ESPN model that kind of bakes in the streaming in the way they're adding has a much more potential to work. And so somehow Zone's got to get connected to something. So I think, that's hurting it, because you're right, there's no chatter. And it's because somehow, some way, they have to get connected to these larger media outlets, and I don't hear people talking about it.
Right, and just to
piggyback
off that, I know when the pivot. Yep. So just to piggyback off that, and after this I'm going to pivot into a different point, but to piggyback off that, Canelo Alvarez, his fight with Danny Jacobs on the Zone, did 1.3 million viewers worldwide. That includes Mexico, United States, the UK, wherever they have the Zone. So, and to juxtapose that, Caleb Plant did similar numbers on Fox, and he is a fraction of the boxing star as far as fandom goes that Canelo is. And that's only in the U.S. They only count the TV numbers for Fox in the U.S. But that just goes to show what kind of numbers they're drawing on the Zone. That's their biggest fight. But going with Fox, there's a fight that has just been announced, pay-per-view fight with Keith Thurman and Manny Pacquiao. What are your thoughts?
Man, that's one of the funniest press conferences ever. Because, you know, Keith can talk, but Manny kind of held his own. But Manny was like, I fought a lot of big fighters, and they all say the same thing until I get in the ring with them and I hit them. You know, kind of like the Mike Tyson. Everybody has a plan until they get hit in the mouth. And you hardly ever hear Manny with that kind of, you know what I'm saying? Manny kind of, you know, in his own Manny-like way was like, come on. And then Keith goes back, but you got seven losses when there were seven people that didn't work on. So, like, the build-up, again, there's build-up, right? There's some build-up and some energy around this fight. And, man, it's so easy to say Manny's in trouble, right? You got a guy like Keith who's got power and speed and athleticism and everything else. But we also have seen Keith get hurt, right? We've seen Keith get knocked down and have to get up and then win a fight. And so this is the most intriguing fight. You know, in which, you know, I believe, you know, because the way Keith Thurman thinks, you know, he can win by points or he can win by stoppage, and he's willing to fight that way and be protective. You know, I think you're going to see much more activity. You know, and Broner just wasn't active enough. And Keith is definitely going to be active with that jab to kind of keep him off. So, you know, at this moment, I'm leaning towards Keith, but, man, I've learned not to just underestimate Manny. You know, this second Manny is on a different level, and I've learned not to underestimate it. But I think this is a trap fight for Keith, man. You know, to be strange, I think it's a trap fight, but if he can get through this pay-per-view fight and push to the next level, you know, it's about those fights that get set up after it. But I think this is a This is a trap fight for him because it's his second fight coming back. Well, he hasn't had a lot of activity because he's come back from the injury and everything. I think it's a trap fight, but I'm leaning a little bit more towards Keith Thurman.
I probably would as well, but I'm going to be honest with you. In this fight, I'm going to be rooting for Manny Pacquiao to win this fight because, in my opinion, Keith Thurman is one of the guys that is holding up the welterweight division. In one of the interviews, he said after Manny Pacquiao fight, he's not fighting again until 2020. And then somebody else asked, could you fight Errol Spence? In 2020, he said, I don't know, maybe. And then they asked him, was the summer of 2020, would that be a good time for him to fight? And he's like, I don't know. He was kind of dancing around the question. And that's going to be a problem because you know what Errol Spence is doing is he keeps saying Terrence Crawford's on the wrong side of the street. And he's going to try to fight Sean Porter, you know, Keith Thurman. He's trying to get the rest of the belts first before he fights Terrence Crawford, so we could be the undisputed kind of A side in the fight, so we can get the higher person to fight. And I understand that, but at the same time, with Keith Thurman being reticent to fight, this can push the fight way back into months and years later. Like we might not even see Crawford versus Spence till late to 2021. 2022, and that time, we don't want to fight. We don't want to wait that long for the fight because Terrence Crawford will probably be 33, 34 years old. Errol Spence will be 31. We want to see it when they're in their prime, you know what I'm saying? But if Manny Pacquiao wins, there's a good chance he'll win and retire off into the sunset. His belt become vacant. And a guy that wins the vacant belt would either fight Spence or Crawford, and then we can get things moving. We can get some more movement in the division. But that's just my take on it. As far as the actual fight goes, I believe that Keith Thurman should win the fight because Manny Pacquiao struggles with guys that have lateral movement, guys that have a good defense but can also get out of the way of punches. But I would not be surprised, Manny Pacquiao wins the fight because we've seen Keith Thurman hurt. His chin has proven to be a little shaky. He's susceptible to body shots, even though Manny Pacquiao doesn't really throw a lot of body shots, but he would be wise to in this fight. But the work rate of Manny Pacquiao is something you could look for because Keith Thurman, kind of like Canelo Alvarez, they both like to take breaks within rounds. They don't always fight for 3 minutes of every round. So that's something you can look for. Maybe Manny Pacquiao can outwork him and win on the scorecards that way.
Yeah, I think I would say, so we were trying to, you know, the question was more from an analyst standpoint. But I agree with you. If from an interest of boxing and moving boxing standpoint, then I would go with Manny Pacquiao, and I think a win over Keith Thurman would give Manny a little bit more confidence, and Manny's open to fighting anyone. I mean, he wants to kind of land the ship the right way, and you know you may see a Floyd return because that might build momentum for Floyd to get some more money and then beat Manny again. You know Floyd might say, okay, this fight is right now, you know, because he got to win over this youngin, and now we got a storyline. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of pops Manny back up. You might see Floyd, you know, pick up the phone at that point, you know, and say, okay, this guy done beat two youngins. Now he's popped up, you know, we might be able to get another, you know, $100 million, you know. And so you never know if Floyd might come and knock it, you know. So, it opens up a lot of possibilities if Manny does.
Man, I don't want to see Floyd again. I'm sorry.
You know, Floyd is. That's right. Floyd ain't never stopped working out. We all know that. Floyd stay in shape.
Yeah, you're
right. You know that Floyd stay in shape. Floyd, like, he waits to see. He watches this fight as much as you and I watch it. He's like, oh, this is a pop-up. You know, so you never know. And you know Manny wants that rematch. But that money will be, it gets popped up when it went over Keith Thurman. Thurman. You know, so this is, you're right. This is an interesting thing.
Right. So we talked about the zone earlier today, and this song popped up another question. Not a question, but a statement. I guess it is a question. Did you know that Devin Haney is fighting tomorrow? Because, to be honest with you, before yesterday or the day before that, I did not know Devin Haney was fighting tomorrow. And that speaks to another thing, because, you know, I follow boxing. I'm always on the boxing Facebook pages, always talking to people on Twitter and stuff like that, watching the YouTube channels and stuff. I didn't know Devin Haney was fighting tomorrow. So I just wanted to make sure
I had no idea before he's fighting Moran. That card's an interesting undercard. They got an interesting card, but you're right. There's no promotion. Unless you're watching YouTube or you catch up there, there's no promotion on it at all. And this is like one of the rising boxers in the game, and we don't know anything about it. He's not even out there, and there's no avenue to get it. So you're right. I didn't know that was even happening until you shared it with me, and I was able to even watch, you know, the press conference for it. So, again, I mean, they're missing out on some things. You know, and what's happening is, you know, in Europe and the area, they have their avenues for promotion. You know, they got Sky and all those people help. So they're not really feeling it, because when they do things in Europe or in the UK, those mechanisms we're talking about, they have them, right? But they don't yet have them in the United States where it's really important. But they got it. I think it's fool's gold because they have it in the UK in ways that don't translate to the U.S. market. So you're right. I mean, here's again, you got this young 20-year-old, his own company, promotional company. You know, he's kind of a face of kind of boxing you want to have. You know, very smart, got his stuff together, and, you know, we don't even know he's fighting. You're right. That's a problem.
Hey, speaking of the U.K., well, first of all, Devin Haney is a guy. His partnership with DAZN is a unique one, because we know Devin Haney, about a year ago, became the youngest boxing promoter in boxing. And he was his own promoter. He's his own promoter. He created his LLC, Haney Promotion, and he's gonna be and with his new deal with Eddie Hearn. It's not necessarily a promotional deal as much as it is a partnership, which Eddie Hearn is going to help him promote his fight, and he's also going to help promote his fighters and help him get his company along. So I think that's a very good deal for him, while just for a couple of years to get him on his feet. But so we can see how this thing is going to go. But over in the UK, where Eddie Hearn and everybody else is, I watched the interview, just like I expected you, his interview with Eddie Hearn and their introductory stuff. But those guys in the UK, they love Devin Haney. We seem like we might have a new star out there. He might be able to do some numbers out in the UK, because they're like, oh, this is a good, bright kid, very talented, speaks well. All the comments in the comment section seem to be very positive. So that seems to be something to look out for. But where do you rate Devin Haney as far as the young prospects coming up?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think you know, he's right up there. You know, you got your guy Shakur, and you know, I think that is like, he's like moving into contender space. But I think, you know, I think he's got all the pieces that, you know, what he does in this next fight, which I think is probably going to be his most competitive fight to date, I think that'll do a lot for selling who he is. So, I mean, I think the biggest issue is I think he's a really good prospect. We just don't, in this current business model avenue he's got, he's just not getting the exposure. And so two things, it's what we believe as analysts, and it's what the broader audience believes, that will have eyeballs on him. And I think being an elite prospect requires both those elements of the equation. It's like what we understand for you to be a boxer, and what, like, beyond the basic boxing fan, what people believe you are becoming. And I think Crawford had a really good balance of that. You know, the true boxing peers understood this guy is banging, But he did it in such a way, even doing most of his fights from Nebraska, was able to then also get fans to believe, the everyday guy to say, yeah, that's the dude. And so I think in that, if you use that equation, he's got one side, but then he doesn't have the other yet for people to understand it, where it then results in him getting the kind of fights and the kind of movement behind him that's going to allow him to benefit. So he's got to somehow correct that. But I think he's obviously in that top group.
Yeah, before I let you go, I want to mention something that on the way up, Devin Haney, you know, like Shakur Stevenson, he's being mentored by Terrence Crawford and Andre Ward. But if you look at it, Devin Haney, he's been brought up by almost the holy trinity of boxing minds and boxing wisdom, because he trains with as you know, Floyd Sr. and the Mayweather camp. But before that.
Yeah.
He was also. I remember him when he was being when he was working with Roy Jones Jr. And also in the camp working with him, you have Mike McCallum teaching him more of the stuff on the inside game and the body snatcher teaching him some of those old veteran tricks. So he has all the kind of mentors and all the kind of seasoning and teachers that you would need to take him to the next level, and I'm just excited to see where he takes it in his career.
And in that moment, it feels LeBron-esque, right? Like as LeBron was moving up, he was tapping into those folks, right? From Jay-Z to most of these guys that put together his business model that's working for him now, both on and off the Warren Buffett, right? On and off the floor, kind of pulling it all together. And from a boxing standpoint, I think the way you describe it, it feels almost LeBron-esque in the way he's building his career. At the same time, building his craft and building his business model and being wise enough at a young age, along with his dad, who's obviously a great influence on him, helping to put the package together. And I would say it feels LeBron-esque.
Right. And I think that'll do it for today. If you want to close this out or have any last things to say?
Yeah, what I want to say is, man, you have brought a lot to us in the boxing world. I just want to make sure I'm putting this tribute back to you. And you have driven and expanded my mind around this, and have you on and really pushing this out has been such a pleasure, man. And I'm learning as I'm going with you, which I appreciate, and everything you bring to RSG as it relates to what we're trying to understand with boxing. Given that this momentum is rising in boxing, it's like boxing is, everybody's talking MMA, but it seems like boxing is kind of just, I don't hear much MMA as much as I'm hearing boxing right now, which is crazy. Even though MMA is, and the way you helped us understand it has been great. So, hey, as I always tell y'all, go to realsportsguys.com to check it out. Check out everything related to RSG, including this podcast if you want to hear it over again. You catch it there, or you can catch it on iTunes and other podcast platforms. Until then, that's it for a boxing moment with Devon and Darnell.